turn to 2 Corinthians. Okay, tonight we're going to take a little detour. And we're going to look at new things in the Bible. You know, there's old things and there's new things. We know, of course, is an Old Testament and a New Testament, right? But there are a number of things that are referred to in the Bible as new. So we're going to look and see what's new and in God's Word and why it matters to us. So we're going to start in chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation. "All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So we see two things here that are new. It says, those that are in Christ Jesus, meaning those that are born again, are a new creation. And then it says, there are new things, right? Old things are passed away. New things are come. And the working translation, first of all, the word "all" in verse 17 is not in the text, okay? So you can just cross out "all" in your Bible if you want. But the working translation translates it like this: "Wherefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation. "The old things passed. Behold, new things have come." Verse 18, "And all," and square brackets, "of the new things," square brackets, "are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So, there you have it. All the new things are of or from God. So, those who are born again, it says, are a new creation. Didn't exist. It came into being when you believed in Jesus Christ, confessed with your mouth, and believed in your heart. So, new things have come. And those specifically are in Christ Jesus. All these new things that have come to those in Christ are come from God. That's what it said in those two verses. Now, if there are new things, there were also old things. Because it said that, right? It said old things are passed away. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason the old things are passed away and new things are come is because the old things didn't work good and the new things were better. If the old things were good and they worked right, wouldn't need the new things, would we? You know, if you bought a car and it was guaranteed forever and it never broke down and never wore out, you would never have to buy a new car, would you? But when they wear out, when they break down, and they get old, then you need a new one. Well, spiritually speaking, that's what God did. So, there would be no need for new things if the old things were better. So why did Jesus Christ come? Why did God send him? And why did man need to be reconciled? Those are the things that we see in those verses. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And it's a great little summation of kind of everything that we're talking about, a little, in some respects, anyway. Verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man," that one man being Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him," Jesus Christ, "that was to come." So, Adam sinned and death passed to all men. So we really need to understand this. So we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, to the creation and the making of mankind. Chapter 1, verse 26 is where we're going to begin. And God said in verse 26, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So, you can stay where you are. I'll just go to John chapter 4, because the verse in John chapter 4 explains this to us. Jesus Christ speaking, and it says, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." God is spirit. So back in Genesis, when it says God created man in his image and his likeness, that likeness, that image was spirit. Because then later on, we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So here we see that God did three things. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. He gave him a physical being, bones and flesh and blood and all the other stuff that's in there. And then he breathed into man the breath of life. He gave him life within that body. But he also created within him spirit. He gave him spirit life also. Man initially and originally was designed to be a threefold being. Body, soul, and spirit. Okay? So, let's go back to chapter 1, verse 28. It says, "And God blessed them," speaking of man and woman, male and female, "and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is from the face of it all, of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so, and God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So God made man. He created man, body, soul, and spirit. He gave him dominion. He gave him authority to reign over the whole creation. That's quite an assignment. Mm-hmm. Not a bad deal. It's a good job. That's a good. That was his entry-level position. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was it. And God said it was very good. That was God's intent for mankind. That was God's intent, that he would live in this perfect situation, perfect environment, body, soul, and spirit, and have dominion and authority. You couldn't ask for anything more, could you? Could not. And then in verse 16 of chapter 2, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, or eating thou mayest eat. And out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt die," or "thou shalt surely die," or "dying thou shalt die." So we know here God said, in that day, in that very day that you eat of that tree, that you'll die. And yet, as we read on in Genesis, Adam lived to be 930-something years physically, in that body and soul part, in his physical body. That was his life that he had. But he died spiritually, because remember what it said? Let's go back to Romans 5. Romans 5, we're going to read it again so it's in your brain. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That sin and that death passed from Adam down to every person, every human being, man and woman that ever was born, that sin and death was passed down. So, God's original plan was for man to be a body, soul, and spirit, to live forever, as far as we know, on the earth in dominion and authority, and Adam disobeyed. So all that were born after Adam had only body and soul life, not spirit life. Remember in Ephesians it says, we were dead in trespasses and sins, right? And death passed down to all. No exceptions. There were no exceptions. There's nobody that was ever born that was an exception to this. But God foretold of a time in the future when spirit would again be given. So let's go to Joel chapter 2. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Chapter 2, verse 8. Is that right? 28. Chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. So that was God foretelling of the future of the giving of spirit. Now let's go to Mark, Gospel of Mark. Now it's really great to understand this stuff because most people don't. You know, most Christians, most people don't understand body, soul, and spirit. They confuse spirit and soul. They think they're the same thing. They don't understand the spiritual life. So if somebody is really serious and philosophical, they think he's a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. Or if he sits and meditates or something like that. That's really the truth, isn't it? Mark chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Did I tell you chapter 1? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, verse 6. Okay. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. So there's a second one. Again, John is foretelling of the giving of Holy Spirit. And let's go to Luke chapter 11. So Joel and other places in the Old Testament, it was foretold. John the Baptist foretold of it. Chapter 11 of Luke, Jesus Christ foretells of the giving of Spirit. Verse 13. If then ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And of course, again, this is in the future, right? He's foretelling of it. He was explaining things to the apostles. And let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 37. John It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. No. Is that it?
No.
No, that's 6. Sorry. 7. 7:37. Here I am. Okay. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, meaning Holy Spirit, was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So again, he's speaking in the future, right? And he's speaking figuratively, because they didn't really understand what he was talking about, I'm sure. Except that John, writing this down, looking back, by revelation, God told him what it meant, how to explain it to people. So he wrote it down, and now we understand it. How great was that? So man lost Holy Spirit, and one of the purposes of Jesus Christ was to restore that Spirit. Now, we also have to remember, as we read the Bible, that there will be times when you will see that people in the Old Testament had Spirit, but it was Spirit upon them, right? It wasn't permanent. When we receive Holy Spirit in the new birth, it is seed, it is permanent, it is an incorruptible seed. We have that Spirit and we never lose it. We have it forever. But in the Old Testament, that Spirit would come and go sometimes. Sometimes a man would have it, he would be a prophet and he would have it for a long time. Other times he might just have it for a specific event or situation. For instance, Samson, it talks about every time he had to fight the Philistines, it said, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, came upon him. So it just happened to be, it depends. You have to read the context to find out what's going on. Let's go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And verse 1. And this is where Jesus Christ speaks to Nicodemus, and again, he explains the coming of the giving of Holy Spirit. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So this tells us this guy, he was a Pharisee, which means he was a religious man, a very religious man with strict religious training, probably from the time he was a very young boy, and that he was a ruler of the Jews, meaning probably he was part of the ruling council. We don't know that for 100%, but it seems like that would be the case. The same came to Jesus by night. He didn't want anybody to know that he was going to see him. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he's very respectful. He says, Rabbi, which means master or teacher. And he said, we know that you have to be from God, because nobody could do the things you're doing unless God was with you. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ gets right into it. He doesn't really respond to what Nicodemus says. He just tells him the truth, doesn't he? He said, you know, unless you're born again, and to be born again means born from above. Literally, that's what it means, born from above. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no other way around it. There's no other passage. There's no other ticket. There's no other way to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, he's scratching his head. He didn't understand. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And of course, to be born of water means what? You're born the first time, the physical birth. You know, the baby's in the placenta, the water breaks, or when it's delivered, the water comes out and the man is born. And then to be born of the Spirit is to be born again, to be born the second time of God's Spirit. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And you know, that's where we understand God gives what he is, right? He can only give what he is. He gives spirit. If he is a spirit being, the seed that he would give us has to be spirit. That's pretty simple to understand. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know, we were born of flesh and will ever be flesh until we stop drawing breath, right? Until we expire on this physical earth. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You must be born from above. Jesus Christ was pretty straightforward. You know, in chapter 10, you go there, chapter 10 of John, verse 10, it says, The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And, you know, we know the word life means life in all its full range. But to have it more abundantly has to do with the spirit life. Has to do with us walking spiritually with God, with having that spirit within us. That's how we have a more abundant life. As we saw in Romans, people without spirit are dead. In Ephesians, again, it says, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Because of this, God had to make spirit available. So he did. He sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled all the requirements of the law, all the requirements of the scriptures and the prophecies and the prophets. He fulfilled it all so that we could have eternal life. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. So, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, And being assembled together with them, Jesus Christ was assembled together with the 12 apostles and some other people, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Well, we read that in Mark, where John said, I baptize with water, but there comes one after me that will baptize with Holy Spirit. So now Jesus Christ is reaffirming that statement by John the Baptist, and he's telling his apostles. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And then in verse 8, it says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that's what Jesus Christ instructed the apostles. And then in chapter 2, this all comes to pass. They tarried there for certain days. And then on the day of Pentecost, it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the gift of Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues as God gave them the utterance. That Spirit worked in them. Pretty great. This is the fulfilling of the prophecies that we read in the Old Testament and in the Gospels, the giving of the gift of Holy Spirit. God, who is Spirit, gave His Spirit to mankind. The thing that Adam got originally and lost, and man had to wait thousands of years to get back, God finally accomplished it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then when He sat on the right hand of God, He was able to baptize with the Holy Spirit. What a great thing, the giving of the gift of Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that new Spirit life was speaking in tongues. That was the evidence of that new Spirit life. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. You know, it's kind of interesting if we went back in John chapter 3, Jesus Christ was amazed that Nicodemus didn't understand it, right? Because this should have been something that they were looking forward to as much as the coming of the Messiah. You know, as much as the coming of the Messiah, they should have looked forward to the coming of the gift of Holy Spirit, to get Spirit back once again. But they didn't. So Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voices, and he said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's about 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Remember, we read in Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Wow. Peter said that by revelation, but he quoted it perfectly. It's pretty great. Pretty great. Chapter 2, verse 32. It says, This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So, he put it out there. He shed it. Adam lost spirit life. Jesus Christ restored spirit life. In verse 37, it says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, you know, God was really pretty forgiving. But the Holy Spirit was made available, and they were told what was required of them. They were told they had to believe on the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and that's exactly what they did, and they got born again. They received Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 23, it says, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, here again it talks about body, soul, and spirit as God had originally designed man to be. You know, that's pretty great. Man was handicapped throughout most of history. And people continue to go through life handicapped because they don't want to believe, or they haven't heard enough to believe. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 8. So this all has to do with the new birth, right? That's new. The new birth was new. And it's a new spirit life that we have. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, sometimes people look so wonderful and people say, oh, they're such good people because they do charitable things or wonderful things or, I don't know, whatever. But it says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Doesn't matter how many good things they do. Doesn't matter how sweet or nice or loving or anything else. If they're in the flesh, if they're not born again, they cannot please God. But ye, those of us that are born again, written to us, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So here it calls it the Spirit of God, and it calls it the Spirit of Christ, but it all has to do with that new birth spirit, the new birth spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, the Spirit is life. What a great thing to understand. Spirit is life, the new birth spirit. We're going to go to chapter 5. We're going to go to chapter 5, and having read all this stuff, chapter 5 should make sense. So we're going to read through it. And then we're going to look at a few other things that are become new. So, but the new birth is the big one, right? We're new creations in Christ Jesus, and all things are become new. So it says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. The gift is given to those who believe regarding Jesus Christ. It's referred to as that new spirit life, which is when they receive when they're born again. So, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And just simply, you know, we didn't never have the strength to save ourselves. Never did. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that just emphasizes the point that has nothing to do with us, has nothing to do with what we did or how good we were or how bad we were or anything else. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God loving us and sending his son, Jesus Christ, and his love. He commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We could have never bought it or paid for it. God did it because he loved us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So we're justified by his blood and we're saved from the wrath, the judgment. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. Reconciled means what? Bringing back two things that are separated. It brings them back into agreement. You know, we were really never in agreement with God, but God was in agreement with himself and with Jesus Christ. And the death of Jesus Christ and the price he paid reconciled us. It brought us back into agreement with God when we believed. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And the word atonement means reconciliation. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, all sinned. Everybody sinned. Everybody was born a sinner. You know, sometimes you see a little baby and you go, oh, that cute little innocent cherub. And they are, except they're born in sin. And it's just the way it is. I mean, that's spiritually, that's the truth. You know, and all babies are born innocent the same way. They come out the same way. Some grow up to be beasts and horrible, and others grow up to be wonderful and sweet, and some grow up to be great believers. You know? But we're all born in sin. For until the law, verse 13, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Adam was the figure. Jesus Christ was him that was to come, the second Adam. He was the second man that was to come back to redeem us. He came as a man, 100% man, with free will. He had to have the commitment, the obedience, and the ability to redeem us. And he did. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, the offense of Adam... Everybody is dead until they get born again. You're walking around, you ever see The Walking Dead on TV? That's really what the world is. People that are not born again of God's Spirit are the walking dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and really, you know, if you read back, I think it says something in Hebrews about, you know, man's biggest problem is death. Death reigned until Jesus Christ conquered death, because there's nothing that man could do to affect it, to change it, to make a difference. Jesus Christ made a difference. He conquered death for us. What a cool thing. What a great thing. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know, Adam reigned in life for a short period of time, didn't he? He had dominion and authority over everything. And then he gave it away. Once we're born again, we can once again have dominion and authority in our lives to the extent that we believe. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The law was old. If the law worked, we wouldn't have needed grace. And we believed in Jesus Christ by grace. We were saved. We couldn't be saved by the law because the law, the old law, didn't work. We needed something new. So By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So that new life is the eternal life spirit that we have within us. That is the new life that we have. So there is a couple other new things. We're going to look quickly at them. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. It says, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, he being Jesus Christ." He is the mediator of the New Testament. The New Testament means the new covenant. "That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, the old covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." You know, it's kind of interesting. Our inheritance is what? In the heavenlies. Mm-hmm. The inheritance that Israel was given was the promised land. Their hope was the promised land. Our hope is the return of Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. See a little bit more about the old covenant quickly. Chapter 3. "Who also made us able ministers of the new testament," or the new covenant, "not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life." No. The difference was the spirit as opposed to the letter of the law. What a great thing. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans 3, verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." See, in the Old Testament, it was the knowledge of sin, but nobody could be justified. It says in other parts of Romans and other places that we're made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ by believing. Let's go to chapter 8 of Romans. Verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption," or sonship, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father, for the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, so, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." You know, Israel, they were servants. They got a promise, but we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So the new way is much better than the old way. I'd rather be a son of God and an heir and a joint heir than a servant. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or adequate, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, we've been transferred into his kingdom. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Oh, that's verse 19. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our conversation, our citizenship, our what we're focused on is Jesus Christ and him coming back for us, our Savior, "who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we have this old rotting body, but we're getting a new body. That's another new thing that God has promised us, a new body. How great is that? Not kidding. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Tells us a little more. A new body. 15 verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's right. There is no victory in it, because we believed in Jesus Christ. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The Old Testament covenant. The old covenant. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the new covenant, through what God accomplished in Jesus Christ. And we have new life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Speaking of our body. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being hardened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit, the token of the Spirit. The guarantee of all this is that Holy Spirit, that gift of the new birth, Holy Spirit, and the evidence of that is speaking in tongues. How great is that? Let's go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Ah, and finally, a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The old things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Pretty great. And let's go to 2 Peter. We're going to finish up. 2 Peter 3, verse 13. It says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Then it says in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So that's the beginnings of things that are new and from the Bible. There's things old. We don't really want to get too involved with the old things. But the new things, you know, we have the new birth. We have the new spirit within us. I want to read something that Walter Cummins wrote about Ellis. He says, "We have seen that the scriptures teach that people receive the gift of Holy Spirit when they believe regarding Jesus Christ and his accomplishments for them. It is a new creation that is received by grace according to the terms of the New Testament, which Jesus Christ is the mediator. That Spirit is a new eternal life, and that new eternal life Spirit provides people with various new rights, privileges, and abilities. By that Spirit, they are washed, sanctified, justified, and reconciled to God. That Spirit is also the earnest of their inheritance, and by it they know that they are the children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. By it they know that they have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom they have redemption and forgiveness of sins. By that Spirit they may know that they are citizens of heaven, that they will receive a new body, and that they will be in the new heaven and the new earth. The Spirit also maketh intercession for them, and they have 9 ways to manifest that Spirit. These are some of the things that are become new to those who are new creations in Christ and whom God has reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen.